Let's just read what we had in 2012. We'll read what's already been put on Wiki for the last day or so. So last time, is the observed.
Is anything also observable?
Yeah, but it was already observed by them.
Apparently not the only observable.
Can we get
some samples?
Yeah.
You can edit while we go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, how is a purist? Should be.
Can I edit this one?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's make that the observed. Okay. It's day 125 responsible for the intercession of WOWL SCAC. Wait a minute, what happened here?
Bullets have gone.
The bullets, does it?
It's okay, they can be fixed.
It's just the implementation.
Which paper?
No, don't do that either.
This should be a regular bullet, so.
There were items that disappeared.
Yeah, okay, then this bullet is okay, this bullet.
It might be better. Equal and the text is canceled. Yeah, wait a minute, undo all of these, and then.
Yeah, let's. All right, let's see what it was before.
Why don't we ignore this little grammar mistake? And
No.
No, you don't want to ignore it, or no?
Ignore it.
Look, it's, we'll do it again, right?
The machinations I had to do just to get the double bullets. All right, so how close to the alignment limit is the 125 GeV Higgs boson? No. What if deviations are found? questions concerning the precision Higgs program, you know, how well could future colliders do? What does that tell us about the scale of new physics? What is the fate of the Higgs self-coupling?
It's clear that we are never going to answer, right?
Let's see, let's keep going down the list. Is the gauge hierarchy problem resolved? And then in addition, so then there were in addition questions which Pierre then answered.
Well, it was at that point out of excess.
So, you know, by the way, are the ALICE and CMS Higgs data self-consistent? Part of that was the ALICE data self-consistent. Because the mass measurement based on the Z4 leptons compared to gamma had some tension. So that's partly that question was motivated. And then various clarifications. Okay. So in any case, you can see what was on our minds in December 2012. So let's now come down to...
But you don't want to comment on the answer to all these questions? So, were there meaningful questions?
So then it has some comments from Heather Gray, and then there are no comments.
No, just explain HG. It'll come.
Sorry?
Eventually.
Eventually? Hey.
You'll see. Yes,
there's one. Oh, it's just in the wrong place.
Well, no, it's in many places. That's why I put it in
the top. Oh, okay. Okay, so Christoph asks, is the Higgs solitary?
No, apparently has a 6 times massive.
Yes. Higgs electric sector neutral. Natural is the Higgs playing a role in cosmology. Is cosmology playing a role for the Higgs? Is the Higgs out in the pure composite? Is the Higgs responsible for flavor? Is the Higgs writing CP? What are you meant to say? Are there new CP violating parameters that arise from the Higgs sector? Is what that really is. Is there a connection between Higgs and possible diphoton resonance at 750 GeV? I slightly reworded what Christoph said, but that was the flavor.
So you added the possible?
He had maybe with a dash between the A and the B, so what that was.
Did that cause any problem with bullets or squirrels?
No. Are the masses of ball fermions, particularly the light generations portion of the Higgs set, are there any vector light fermions with mass not originating from the Higgs set? By the way, I guess I would probably add some clarification to are the masses of all fermions proportional to the Higgs vet, just more generically is the coupling of the Higgs to the first and second generation follow the same pattern as the coupling to the third generation.
How would you tell it?
Sorry?
How would you measure that?
Well, it's a question.
Wow,
that is what you should ask.
Not the first.
Yeah, of course. First generation would be much more challenging than the second.
Okay. But can we stop at the questions, or we are going to read?
Are we supposed to add, or is it? What are we supposed to do?
Okay.
For the storage.
Well,
is the first question independent of the second one? So the Higgs is let's ask: if the Higgs is solitary, is that natural?
So far as we know, natural isn't.
Yeah.
As far as we know, no.
Okay.
What does solitary mean here? So that there are no other particles?
No other scalar particles.
No other scalar particles.
I would say scalars. If you want to get technical, if there are other scalars around, are they completely independent of the Higgs mechanism? Do they participate in the Higgs mechanism? You can ask questions like that. I would think from a practical point of view, are there new scalar particles, scalar elementary particles to discover?
Now the second question, I will scratch it from the list because it's a complete subject.
We do not even know if the Higgs itself is elementary or not. So that's one of the
questions. That's one of the other questions, but I think you can ask the first question even without knowing how elementary it is.
No, it's true. Well, the question again, try to understand what the meaning of the word solitary in this context.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have used that word, but I would ask a slightly more precise
then
question.
Let's redefine the question. What is the question? Is the Higgs the only scalar that is?
Are there other scalars?
Is the extended Higgs sector or not?
You can break it up into a number of different questions. You can ask it that way, is there an extended Higgs sector? You can ask the more generic question, are there scalars, new scalars to be discovered when mass is above 125 GeV or less?
But you probably want to separate it from things like squarks and sleptons.
Why?
I mean, that's a question too, but I'm just saying
how about
colorless? I mean, I think most of us don't want to mix up Higgs's with Squirks.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we can say colorless, and then the question is, do that. Right. You could break it up into, are there scalars with SU2 Cauchy-1 quantum numbers? Are there SU2 Cauchy-1 singlets out there? But yes, I agree we should keep the color out of the...
But a separate question that I would like to ask you, is there a Higgs portal?
Yeah, and I thought it should be separate, not disconnected with
that.
So Marcus, are you...
But also, the various possible things. You could have scalars that don't talk to Higgs in any way. You could certainly have scalars that have coupling to H squared.
Right.
And so within the least... But that's a really... there could be some random ass other scalar. I don't know why we have to talk about it in the Higgs discussion. But if there's something in the Higgs portal, that's the very interesting thing.
Right. And then just using Stefania's three... possible portals for this discussion. I guess the two of them involve the Higgs, so there's the Higgs portal and then there's the HLN. So we can ask that question as well.
I mean, the Higgs portal Nathalie mentioned, I think, is the most relevant in terms of Higgs fields.
Right. But HLN can affect things too in an interesting way. So it's, so as far as Christoph's questions, do we want to clarify further anything else?
The answer to question four is no.
I mean, I suppose is the Higgs composite or elementary, then you might want to say if composite at what scale, because you need to associate some scale.
So can we go back to number three, the Higgs planar rolling cosmology?
Right.
I mean, there was a lot of noise a couple of years back about the fact that the Sakharov conditions didn't apply while the Higgs curve was evolving. Has there anything happened with that?
Well, Shinya told us about ways of making the electric phase transition more first order by having more complicated Higgs sectors.
Mm-hmm. But you're talking about after inflation when the Higgs field has an excursion. Yeah, so people have been working with this.
Kusenko. Yeah, it's very nice done.
Was
there
a lot of noise?
A lot of noise. There was crazy people postulated in this.
It's a particular Morion one was a lot of noise.
I would concentrated on this.
I mean, the Higgs and inflation, I mean, Shapovalnikov probably still pushing his very peculiar model.
Yeah, but the answer to that is also no, right? It's not a consistent effective field theory. Yeah.
So I will consider those theories as theories.
Just because you like
that effective theory doesn't mean. No, to make it work, sorry.
Count
it
anyway.
Oh, well, the coupling is hundreds, or order hundreds. How do you.
I think he even had larger.
The claim that you get viable inflation rests on using the couplings that you bring down. But there is no sensible, that's not the complete theory of the couplings you bring down. Right? And you don't even know, maybe that theory confines, right? Like, you have no idea, so you have no right to say. You have a viable prediction for inflation in that context. So then to say that the Higgs is responsible for inflation is irresponsible.
Yeah, you can't say it says, but you can't rule it out exactly just because you've written down a model.
I can't rule out dragons.
You can't calculate things.
There's no model. It's not a model.
But let's say the following. There are questions that we will be able to address soon by experiment and others that are very hard, otherwise impossible. So that that one is very hard.
We might want to separate out the list into different types.
Exactly, because there are questions that we will address.
For run two in particular.
Okay, but before, let's finish, let's try to do things in order.
Separate. How crazy.
Anybody want to say anything about Higgs and flavor?
Yeah.
Again, that's...
I don't know why Nathaniel said the answer is probably no, but...
That's number four.
So yeah, that question number four, yes.
Because the relaxion, if it helps to solve the hierarchy problem at all, is just the tuning that you calculate in the Higgs sector and the tuning in the inflationary sector. And the tuning is much larger. And it's just that we're less used to thinking about that tuning, so we feel better.
No, but on the other hand, all the models of inflation are fine-tuned. So in some sense, you're saying, yes, inflation is fine-tuned.
No, this is fine. Those are all new.
Why don't we separate those questions that we will be able to address from those that depend on crazy theoretical assumptions?
But I should say even so let's say that someone comes down and makes a nice inflationary potential. For the versions of the relaxion that do work, they do predict extra vector-like matter that talks to the Higgs. So they actually have an observational consequence. The versions of it that work have an observational consequence, and that is testable. So that is sort of interesting.
Don't they predict also time variation in the Higgs gap? So you can. I heard Peter Graham said that you might be able to.
I don't know how you test that at a measurable amount.
Measurable what?
Very time dependence of the Higgs stuff.
Okay, look, if we see vector like ones, the last thing that we see say that is an
fluctuation of Z mass.
I think that's
talking about very tiny
questions that cannot be answered.
Yeah, it's the order the bevels are 10 to the 9 GeV or whatever.
No, but my point is that there was, it's just echoing with Daniel's point that there.
Okay, so let's go to the simplest one. How do you determine that Higgs is composite of the element?
Well, again, you have to specify a scale, and then you can answer that question with respect to that scale.
Up to what scale Higgs is for sure element? Right. This is a well-defined question.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to pose it.
Okay.
Now, as far as Higgs responsible for flavor, I guess I would probably focus on more questions that you can address in kilometers, like are there flavor-changing Higgs-mediated neutral currents at some level?
Oh, that is a different.
Is there Higgs couplings to flavor like mu tau and things like that that we can observe.
Is this the same thing as asking if the unitarity triangle is unitary? If the CKM matrix is unitary? Is it saying...
Is there any
flavor violation outside of the Yukawas? Is that the same thing?
Oh, you mean is non-minimal... Is there something other than minimal flavor violation?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to understand the question.
Right. That's why I was proposing to substitute slightly more precise questions.
I think it's a question because I'm not sure that it's connected to the unitarity of the CKM because it's connected to the Higgs coupling to fermions. And you can diagonalize the masses that is all what it goes to, and without diagonalizing the couplings. So you can have still perfect unitarity in the CKM. Yeah,
you could also violate unitarity in the CKM.
You could.
By
you
introducing my fourth generation, has nothing to do with Higgs.
That is a different question. I'm saying that you can preserve unitarity and still have flavor
You mean sort of external to?
Yeah,
I think there's two aspects here. You're talking about the theoretical CKM matrix.
Yeah.
And there's another question you could ask is the experimental CKM.
Yeah, exactly. If you measure
when you should draw.
Do
you mean that you draw a unitarity triangle
from
measurements?
Of course, you make measurements. There's a prediction. Because the scattered model predicts things, and if something goes out of whack, then there's some other source.
If the unitarity triangle doesn't add up, then it's the same.
What he's saying is when I make a measurement,
is
that extra contribution to flavor violation, and I reinterpret it in terms of the standard contributions, then I will see that the unitary triangle doesn't work, even if it works. Even if the unitary triangle is true, but I have extra sources, I reinterpret it in terms of
that's. Isn't it the same thing? I mean, the unitarity triangle, as you define it in the standard model, it has to be...
I think it is, because in the standard model, all quark flavor symmetries are violated. There aren't any that aren't violated.
Yeah.
And so every flavor-violating process you could measure in the quark sector can be predicted in the standard model in terms of the unitary traffic.
Okay. But just as a simple example.
For the left-hand sector, it's different because there's not.
If you're claiming to measure a particular angle, and it's based on a process,
right,
and that process has contributions from some penguin diagram with supersymmetric particles, then you're not going to get the answer you think you're going to get.
Right. I think that's the point.
Yeah, I mean,
and that has nothing to do with Higgs.
No, well,
sorry, I was writing a comment more generally of non-standard model. I would be happy with any non-standard model.
Well, yeah.
You're right, we would not know that was Higgs versus something else.
Okay.
That's certainly true.
So I had a completely different interpretation of this question, which is probably wrong from what you all are saying, but I was asking myself, do we want to know if the electron is getting its mass from the Yukawa coupling?
Well, that's a later question.
Ooh, I mean, there are models.
I think that these really three questions below.
That's this question. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Can I ask the same question in a slightly different way? Has anybody, after the Higgs discovery, so now we know the mass, gone back and done a very thorough job of looking at all the flavor, all the measurements and the constraints we have on flavor violation to see what impact that would have on just some simple Higgs model, like two Higgs doublet model with general flavor violation or something?
Well, I mean, people have been playing that game for a while.
I know, that's why I ask if anybody after the Higgs discovery have gone back with all the modern data and done that.
They could always use an update.
What you mean, just including the mass as another?
Okay, so there's one thing we don't know, yeah. And maybe just assume all those processes are saturated by the light of state.
So isn't the problem that the Higgs doesn't really contribute much flavor observables, but a generic, essentially accessible generic coupling?
Yeah.
No, of course, so you have to have some extended Higgs sector. So you need some framework to put it in either. You could do two Higgs doublet model of general flavor violations and near the alignment limits, and then the effects are small.
Yeah. Well, not all effects are small. I mean, if you have type 2 a heavy charged Higgs, that's...
No, the heavy states could do things. The effects
are... Yeah, that's what's usually the... most of the effects. It's usually the charge tips. That's the dominant effects in flavor. I'm not saying you can't find counterexamples, but the dominant is the charge tips. Wherever you see W, you can put the charge tips.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, has anybody done a systematic study of the theory we're just talking about, say, near the alignment? From where the leading effects come from.
So is your statement, because I understand your statement but is your statement still true if you depart from the standard flavor aligned scenarios? So if I put an off-diagonal coupling to Higgs in the neutral sector,
can Yes, if you start to play that game, then you can start to generate.
And I think that was the context.
Yeah, what I'm getting at, there's two qualitative things we know. Now we know the light Higgs mass, and we know that it's pretty close to the alignment limit. So that's what I meant by suppressed. So the flavor effects of the light Higgs would be suppressed by the alignment parameter. And then there could be additional heavy things where there isn't necessarily suppression, and that might organize how to think about the whole problem. So, you know, using just those two facts that we now learned.
Yeah. So I don't think there's been anything comprehensive.
At least not updated. I mean,
the
with Higgs and mediating the three-level flavor change of recurrence, and then the bound that you get on this combination of coupling over the mass.
I would suggest that as a suggestion.
Yeah, so that's why I was focusing on, because I think this Higgs responsible for flavor should be broken off into smaller pieces and ask questions like this. As far as CP is, again, the whole story here, I think we've only touched the tip of the iceberg on possible new CP violating observables. Sabina reminded me that the last time we attempted this was in 2006 on the CP, so this certainly is worthy of a return visit. I think we've said enough about the 750
G. Well, I think, but importantly, the answer is no to apartment 10 to the 3, right?
What are you pointing at?
Is there a connection between Higgs and possible decoherence of 50? Experimentally, well, at the level of the mixing.
Depends on what you mean by connection.
In a big theory framework, sure, whatever, but in a concrete, experimentally testable fashion.
There is no mixing. Right. The question is, there's mixing between these two.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. If you'd like to write down a theory framework in which both of these things appear, but there is no mixing, I welcome you to do so. And then tell me they're connected.
Yeah. But you can have the Higgs portal coupling, right? Where you just don't get a bet, like if it's a pseudoscalar.
Yeah,
so you still, couples.
But I think that's an important question, if the thing's true, because it's spin zero, and there's another spin zero that connected. That's the first question I've answered. Mm-hmm. It turns out to be right.
And keep in mind that the mixing is suppressed by the ratio of masses.
That's still on
that's not, well, in a perturbative model, that's not even close.
Okay.
Because, the mixing angle has to be like 10 to the minus 3.
Yeah.
So the ratio of masses squared is not getting close to 1. But I think Jonathan's point is an excellent one, which is that, if it's h squared phi squared and phi is a pseudoscalar, what's the best way you're going to probe the h phi phi coupling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the first sign you would have of the connection.
Right.
That's very hard, but interesting to ask what one could do to try to get that.
Yeah,
we know. So maybe that's the best way to put it. You can put it this way, probing an h squared, phi squared interaction. Even if phi is a scalar, if it doesn't have a VEV, then it's probably the same story. So when you have a h squared, phi squared interaction, the h can get a VEV, and then you're left with an h phi squared coupling.
You have some non-negligible gluon fusion production rate, right?
Well, so
you
no, turn no, 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 show. It's
not, very good, very good.
Yes.
Hey, you be careful what you
do. Actually, sorry, going back to the question before of CP. So I think that one can think it from the low energy point of view, like flavor. So if you put speed violation there, what bounds you have. But I think from the collider point of view, an interesting question to ask is what additional channels one can think for round two or the future VHC to measure this. If we test some small CP admixture.
Absolutely.
Because it's not clear to me what additional channels one can study. There have been a few FINO papers. Right.
Well, as I said back in 2006, that was the focus of a big yellow report. And people made various proposals there.
Apparently, tau challenge.
And one could go back and look at what was said back then and see whether there are new ideas.
Yeah. We've done that. We've done low EW, we've done it on ZZ. And we started. From the VBF production also, you have one measure. You have access to the polarization of the tiles.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
always been a kind of tau conversation.
Yeah.
There's also this idea that if you can get enough TT Higgs events, you can look at the distributions which are sensitive to the gamma 5 coupling proportional to MT versus the one coupling proportional to MT. We explored some time ago, but it takes events to do that, but it's pretty powerful once you get events.
How much data do you need? How much data do you need?
I miss, what is the relevant measurement?
Well, things like the PT distribution of the Higgs. It depends on whether it's a gamma 5 or one coupling. So you get pretty good sensitivity once you have some events.
I mean, the thing to keep in mind, though, is that you have EDM experiments, right, that are already really sensitive to some of these things. So it's interesting to see if they're, like, sort of where you get complementarity, right? So where the LHC can actually say something where EDM experiments can't, right? I mean, it's a model-dependent question.
It doesn't couple to electrons,
then. Yeah. No, but if the Higgs is a CP, if the Higgs is a CP admixture, then you,
EDM is.
Okay, so I don't know if anyone wants to say anything about the question of masses of first and second generation fermions.
Yeah,
Do we know the charm associated X production cross section to LHC? It usually doesn't seem to get quoted.
HCC.
Or HC, which perpetual value you prefer.
Sorry?
CCH or CH, whatever you want to call it.
Ah.
CH should be regular. Maybe. It should be a large copy. So it's not so much smaller than B. But it's a factor 10.
10 squared.
No,
squared.
No, five thousand.
Four charm around B.
It is squared. No, 0.6 at 0.6 divided by 3. Okay, maybe factor 5 squared, 25.
Do I remember seeing on the Higgs working group page a quotation for CC fusion to Higgs?
Oh, this is probably some people in the West Coast
believe that can be
that. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying that if you could isolate whether or not there is such a contribution, that would tell
absolutely
you information on this.
But CC fusion is sort of like CC Higgs.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
So you're asking because
so it's...
But they probably see gluon, that's much more powerful.
See
gluon to see Higgs.
Yes.
What's... So to isolate CC Higgs coupling, you have to tag on a C as well.
Yeah, correct. You need the set.
I don't know
well, it depends on the secret charm tagging.
We were discussing this actually today at some point, I don't remember when, but when you have the two C's that are fusing, you have two C's that are coming out, and the kinematics of those two quarks, are they very forward?
They're like VPF jets.
There will be jets, yeah.
If they are very forward, you call it CH.
Because I thought VPF jets, you have like half, you know, the PT is about half the mass.
That's what I meant by worse. They're
worse, he said worse.
Yeah, the PT is even worse. But, you know, there's some, you know, but there's a tail that sticks out.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know how much it is.
Well, we have at least a calorimeter for the VPF jets. We don't have a chart.
Right.
You can answer the question what you consider that is in the PDF and what is so it's
you have search for the associated production with speeds, right? And you can think about it in a very similar way. You might find one C jet in the detector somewhere and the rest goes on the team.
What are the possibilities for the B associated production, the pigs, experimentally?
Well, standard model?
Yeah, for standard model.
By B associated, you mean blue B to B Higgs?
Yeah, so that there's a B in the, you know, forward B for the thing I'm just saying. Is that?
That's the lowest cross section.
That's bigger than TT bar.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's similar to TTH.
It's bigger than TT bar, really.
At 18,
not TT bar, TTH.
TTH, really.
So is there any possibility experimentally? Is that?
It's difficult because of B stuff.
I'm sorry to...
It's difficult because of these soft. So actors, I think we have, I think it's up, right? So, Susie, what?
What would be the Higgs decay mode you would use for that, diphotons?
So there is, if I remember correctly, in the diphoton, there is some contribution of BBH already in the categories, if you look carefully. So it gets taken into account there. In the other channels, for example, in BB, we certainly checked. We found it was absolutely negligible.
I think diphoton will be the best chance.
Mm-hmm. But there is a B tag category in the Higgs for diphoton.
It basically shows up in when you're trying to look for TTH because the B tag works, and then you just need to lose less the other stuff.
Okay.
But it's smaller thing.
So charm would probably be much, much harder.
Always.
All right, I don't know if there's anything to say about the last bullet. We made a comment, so maybe we should move on to what Sabina has written there.
Well,
can we measure exploit P Higgs production?
Well, a lot if we build it plus or minus collider.
Yeah.
Why don't you clarify? Higgs and Higgs decays for the...
Yeah, of course, for Higgs to
I have a Higgs going to 14 Higgs.
Even run two.
On top of it. Okay, so. ISL and
I mean, they're not very useful yet.
Yeah.
It's actually the third question. I was just saying if we had any searches of HHH, and I was just pointing out there are many.
There's a 750 GU bump in big Higgs. Which channel?
Four Bs.
No. And what math?
Two sigma. 750. It's like two sigma, right?
Oh, it must be sigma. Yeah.
Sorry, if I see
four Bs.
That's 750.
Why is someone looking at nothing great?
Oh, you're just looking at you as a bear.
Are you sure?
It's gone high on the Brazil band.
CMS. We're looking as if you're crazy, because if you go to, if you've only got three in the center bar, you'd be
It's not meaningful, right? Because the actual rate. Yeah, the rate. No, exactly.
You're so how many events are we talking? This is at 8 dB or 13 dB?
Wait. How many events are we talking?
It has no sensible interpretation in connection with the dipole tunnel.
Well, it's a stuck.
I think that's a completely.
Wait, why not?
Because. Interesting question. I don't know that that contribution to the total was compatible with the rate and the branching action. I haven't checked.
But well, I mean, you can have a huge width to other things because.
Yeah, I guess basically it's coupling to Higgs is would have to be the same as it's coupling to muons, which is.
Actually, if you remember, wasn't that how you could have an extent?
Well, that's mixing, right? Mixing,
so actually,
rules
that.
Yeah,
I think it's
all
about.
Okay,
so
the
W is much, much larger than Higgs.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
It must be CMS.
If it's just for the mix.
And I'm saying if you have a 750 GV to Higgs 6 couple, Higgs has a 5, you know there's mixing at some level, right?
So
you're
coupling. What do you need that coupling to be?
Yeah.
In order to get.
What is the cross section for this thing? 75.
Hold on, we're going to try to find it. So you're talking about a run, right?
Okay, wait.
What's wrong with that?
Okay, hold on, it's 1.5 sigma.
But then, if it's
so that's this thing there? Is that what you mean?
No, no, that is Atlas, it's CMS.
Then you still go.
That's after branching ratio of BB, so it's actually like 500 femtobar.
There's another one here.
So it's not consistent in the KK interpretation. I hope for the record no one believes I was serious.
No, I don't think the recording is not. Not even to sigma, right?
Okay. It doesn't matter.
Okay, let's forget about it. Maybe the start of
something. There are four bumps. They're really amazing.
Oh, come on. They are also four anti-bumps.
This could be anti-bumps.
Exactly.
You don't have to do that. Okay, maybe the start of something.
All right. Anything else we want to say about Sabina's points?
Okay, we don't know what that Sabina's point. Where are they?
They're right in front of me.
Yeah, but I didn't read them. So how well can we measure exploited VH production? There was no comment on that?
I didn't quite understand what the question was.
Yeah, I was wondering, could you maybe say what you're after?
Maybe Sabina can explain.
Well, the age production is one place where large PSM effects could actually show up. For example, in if you can measure this in the fiduciary and in the PD distribution. But so far, of course, there's no fiduciary measurement of this. And also, I mean, then the question is how. What
will
be the experimental sensitivity?
There isn't fiducial measurement, but there is, of course, the VH measurement, which are PT sliced. Could try to
interpret. The truth is, it's a little bit varied. So if you look at our combination, I think it's still below 3.0 for VH. So I think this is just an unserved time. Like with more data, it's going to be better.
But the Teletron's already answered this one.
The question,
oh, you want how that one?
How much better will it get?
We can just look at the component of this. It's still got a significant component that's statistical, so this part will go fast, right? And then it comes down to the systematics, and it will take longer, but it's going to get, I mean, it depends what how accurate you need it to be.
What
are
we looking for? That we need to work out for, I mean, what are the predictions of different roles, and I mean, usually any effect from BSM, they come in some very high PT pin. They show up as a discrepancy, so, and that's something you don't measure, you see.
Yes, the example Bill's talking about, right, is kind of funny. So this was this one paper, right, which predicted this huge enhancement, but you know, to look at the mass of the VH.
Yeah.
I mean, we looked at this internally in Atlas, and we saw you'd get a signal like a factor of 100 in one of our highest analysis bins. So there was extremely easily ruled out.
Yeah.
But then there were arguments about the model and things like this. So, I mean, if things are PT dependent, the analyses are quite sensitive to them already.
So far, this has not only been quantified. I mean, in terms of potential holding out sort of scenarios. I mean, there are some theory papers making predictions of PT distributions in the context of EFTs or.
Is the inclusive PT distribution any good to you? I mean, the one that comes out from the gamma gamma and ZZ, does it provide any information on this? I guess not.
You need a specific
VH. Just checking. It's basically the Higgs to the vector force and
cognitive.
Okay. Question. Maybe you could add the models you have in mind to this list. That would help us to answer a bit better. I know one model, but maybe you have more in mind.
It's not necessarily one specific model. I mean, this is
generated
the freedom you have in EFT operators.
Yeah. I think the first step is the template cross-sections that have been discussed in the HC cross-section work.
Right.
There have been things in PT of W, and eventually it builds, and you can get a differential distribution. That's what you are discussing, no? You'd like to see PT Higgs in that, or PTW in that context?
Yeah, whether you provide a template cross-section or a fiducial cross-section doesn't make much final.
So one thing as we talked about at the lunch, we're using all kinds of different words for what I think are differential cross-section measurements.
Yeah. But then
I get very confused by people using things like template cross-section.
Template
fiducial cross-section, which are actually meant to differential cross-section.
Template cross-section is a bit of an artificial construction, because some people assume that fiducial measurements can't be done so and so well yet, although they already done. But that's my take on it.
We always measure the fiducial cross-section, because we don't measure anything other than
fiducial
cross-section. But the thing is, fiducial cross-sections are vector unfolded.
No, they can be. They don't have to be.
But often are accepted.
It's a definition question.
You do a definition of a fiducial volume per other simple cuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we don't usually, I mean, in some cases, like VH, we don't usually present that, and the acceptance may be varying quite a lot across it, depending on B-tagging and such like. So if we don't unfold it, then we're not providing that information. So I think there is a.
Yeah, but it's something in it.
We do provide the acceptance, actually.
Yes.
Well, it's just not useful. It can be very, very directly be used if you just put your theory prediction into a multi-party generator. You know,
no,
same sort of total. Thoughts.
That's
and
why I said it's not useful.
Now, these template cross sections, they still do whatever some sophisticated MBA analysis uses, and then things are recasted into these kinds of cross-section slices as they're defined in its own table.
Okay.
But it's not exactly the same thing, because there's this template cross-sections, they really go after production mechanisms, while the fictitious cross-sections, they go after some final state, and then they are basically agnostic towards the underlying production mechanism. Like if you take the Higgs into gamma-gamma, you have blue-blue contributions, and then VBF. It's not separate, and the fictitious selection is just by the final state.
And what for each, you give you, you can, we could give you the acceptance and efficiency for everything, the contribution, and then you can play around with this. It's, for me, the same thing.
Yeah, but it's not the cross-section information. It's the, I mean, the acceptance can change when you change the model.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, one example is GGH, Higgs plus 0, 1, two jets, and we want to combine measurements together between Serapis and Cygnus. We need to find some cuts, basic cuts, like the PT, the data, things like that. So that we can start there, and then you get...
Yeah, that's extremely complicated if you don't have
the
general. The
PT because it's just defined by the selection of four leptons, and then however the Higgs is produced, if you don't care, so if you're model. As a new production mechanism, you can still recast it and compare it with the cross sections that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And that would not be taken into account necessarily by the attempted cross sections.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a comment about the other point. So I think the collaborations are right now studying H2CA, and they do it in a way that they scan over the possible masses of H and A. Then that is a very sensitive thing to do. So
sorry, Carlos, I think Sabine said Atlas don't, and I think that's true, we don't.
So far it's not done in Atlas.
Not done in Atlas, CMS it does. It does.
Yeah. And it provides a very powerful constraint on the...
Correct. That is, I think, very, very sensitive, should be done. Because the other thing that you can do, of course, A going to set H when H is 125, but you can have the opposite. And if it, so you just kind of adopt the two masses, I think it's very sensitive. On the other hand, the dedication double Higgs production can also be thought as, so not only on pairs of equal mass, but one mass could be the H125 and the other can be a different CPU and thing, and that happens. In extension with singlets, you can have the production of a heavy CPU and Higgs, decaying two CPU and Higgs. When one is the standard mass, and the other is a different mass, and I think that would be interesting to study that asymmetric case also, scanning of the two masses. It's the same of H and CA, but now replacing set by standard model Higgs.
It would be much more difficult because for the CH final state, you can use the leptons.
I understand. I understand. It's just that. But if you do set, usually do BB gamma gamma, for instance, and you can do BB gamma gamma looking for a resonant BB behavior, but not necessarily at 125. The photon 125. I don't know how difficult that is, but probably if that could be done, that
you have the main resonance.
Yeah, you have four things, but should be a similar. Well, in a sense, it's the same as looking for 125, 125, but now trying to see the
can you edit?
Marcus is.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Well, we'll put this it's just that this, the direct decay to H to little h, if for instance, suppressing the so called alignment limit. Just because it's related to a comment that somebody was making, I think that Professor Kosachuk, that when you give the vacuum expectation value to Higgs, that represents a mixing between the two Higgs. And of course, these other decays are totally okay, so even if you go to an alignment limit. So that is.
Did Nico piece of question the alignment limit?
Sorry? In the alignment limit, that gap is zero, right? So in the precise alignment limit, gap is alleged to 2H is zero. Instead, the asymmetric decays are still there.
As long as you...
Yeah, yeah, of course. You can go away from the alignment limit, I agree. So, no, I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, of course. That is a very useful search, and it's, of course, the first thing you want to do, yes? I'm saying that you would also, if possible, do the asymmetric decays. That is just a comment.
Can I make one more comment, actually? On this last point of how low can one go in MA, I think that's a good question beyond just these types of searches. So, I mean, I talked to some people here about this, but, you know, we saw these plots in Jack's talk where the tubes and output models, you get be down in this region where MA is relatively small. And I think a lot of the times the collaborations cut off searches, you know, much below pixels. I understand backgrounds are hard, but there are some cases where, like, for example, CMS did this analysis where they have the associated production BB bar and the pseudoscaler, and actually puts real constraints on these types of models. So I don't know if there's, you know, other searches where you do, you know, resonance searches, like you do just Higgs style searches, but extending the mass range down to, I don't know, to potentially cover some of this region, because it's still alive.
Well, of course, they're, for the H125, they're trying to go as low in MA as they can.
No, I understand, but I'm saying, like, say, for example, the CMS analysis, right? Before this analysis, there was nothing extending down to this mass range, and I'm saying, so they did it for taus, you can do it for, I think Scott said they're doing it for muons, I'm saying there are a bunch of searches that you can do.
You're talking about the intermediate mass range, right?
Yeah, sort of the intermediate mass range between like 20 and 90. I know, that's true. There's
some.
I'm talking about the intermediate mass range where you're between.
It's a good call. When there's no obstruction experimentally,
right?
Don't cut it off just to cut it off.
Yeah, that's
that
opposite.
Things like that were done in LEP, as
many people know. You know, that was stuff.
Yes, and here's some.
No, what precisely the front tower.
Okay, so let's...
I repeated some of these things. Yeah, so this is more because I found it interesting looking at how his list, you know, what have we done in 3 years, so at least we have some checks. And so some of the checks that I think we can maybe check off in the next 3 years, we should be able to see the evolution. And that's a big, it's quite important. And TTH, when we combine the experiments, is actually quite significant right now because there's an excess. So will that continue? Or would it settle down? If it settles down, then we need the luminosity to get back. 5 sigma. So these are, yeah. And then second generation H2μμ. So this would be potentially challenging in round two. So Marcus was maybe more optimistic.
Okay,
It's 3 sigma.
3 sigma is kind of what might be possible.
This is combined both.
Both experiments.
Can I go back to that TTH with the LEP for a second? I mean, as you say, it's kind of, you know, one of the biggest discrepancies in the Higgs measurements at run one. Those analyses never really tag a Higgs. They look for TT bar and some leptons around. If that came out as the one bit of Higgs measurements that really disagreed with the rest of the story, would people be happy to interpret that as a TT Higgs measurement, or would they be starting to say that?
Well, certainly, because we wrote papers on this direction, can be interpreted. So if you look for equal sign leptons plus 2Bs, there are many different sources for this. Yeah. And then, so that are not associated with Higgs, and that was a major point, that you are not, as you say, reconstructing the Higgs in any way. So, So certainly not, but this is a valid question also. What if
what's
this is?
If it persists, yeah, then you need to show that
it's... Both interpretations would be valid.
But the TTH signal is symmetric in flavor, and I'm not certain that the discrepancy in quotes is flavor symmetric. So I think that wouldn't actually be a good fit to the excess as it is. Let's see.
Is it different
from
the CMS?
This is statistically.
I think the answer to your question, if you took account of that, you wouldn't try to force TTH into that.
Is flavor symmetry not used in other analysis?
It's there in the public information. You can see in the table.
Right, but it's not used as an analysis technique given the signal hypothesis has the
problem. No, it's sequence.
No, it's just it's just like, this thing, and you throw that particular signal at it.
Yeah, you ask for the question. And then when you analyze it, I believe that the biggest success is in mu mu.
Right.
But again, so then, but this low counts, so then you can always argue that. So,
but it is only one flavor channel that's pulling the thing out.
But if you look at gamma-gamma, for instance, that has nothing to do with flavor, also you see a rate that is two times the standard model, and it's also still there at run two, in the later run. So I think that this could be TTH.
I was just referring to the multi-lepton.
Yeah, the multi-lepton is still a good question.
Okay.
And I had a sub-question to Mimi one. It was thinking about second generation Chong. There's an extra space. Ignore the space.
Okay.
I think we should figure out what we can do.
For Chong.
But it's longer.
In the final state, H to Charm Charm.
Yeah.
Rather than associated production.
Oh yeah, no, that one, I think H to Charm is better than J to Gamma.
What are the primary limitations that you think theorists could help to reduce, or is it just largely going to be an external limitation to the measuring relationship? Is there anything in other words that would make your lives much easier?
Well, the same answer is for BB, right? So in BB, right, what's going to limit it very, very soon is going to be uncertainties on the backgrounds, right? And on these deepest BB, which, we do all sorts of tricks, but we honestly don't know. And for Charm, essentially, the main background is actually going to be the Higgs to BB. So that's going to be the real background there.
Right.
So this is not obvious to me exactly how one's going to treat that.
How big is going to be Mistab or BGS to C-Jets?
This is a thing that's not perfectly determined yet, but if you think about it simply, I mean, the cross, it's 5%, right? It takes to CC or then needs to be B.
Yes.
Right? So no matter what you have, there's going to be a bunch of that there left, no matter what tagging page you're going to play.
Can I ask a question related to this? For Higgs to BB or Charm-Charm, is the B polarization used in the to try to enhance the signal? Because the background is the polarizations. It's like tau-tau. The background is a different polarization.
Do we even simulate it? No, so honestly, I mean, we did be tagging right by an MBA, where we put in all the stuff we have with B-jets versus light-jets, and then we train it up. It's not obvious to me with anything directly sensitive to the polarization.
It's not insane, though, that there is some, I know you. It's not the way you do it, that's why I bring it up, that there is information of the polarization directly, and the, you know, how the momentum is distributed among the things in the B-jet. It would have to be a very special purpose.
So you have to have a tagger which looks at both at the same time.
Yeah. So you tag both.
A Higgs tagger which looks at both B jets at the same time.
Well, so it would be a B, and then the B tagging algorithm would return to you, some polarization variable, and on average, the signal would be, plus, and the background is mostly plus minus. That would be the idea. But it's such a difficult signal. Even if it helped a little bit, every incremental bit might help. But you're right. You would need at the simulation level. You'd have to be careful. You would need something like Paola that keeps the polarization.
But I'm not sure we have. So that might answer your question very simply. If we
yeah.
That doesn't mean we mentioned.
Okay, if it's observable again, you want to change it, how will you?
Still need to talk.
Yeah. It's three lines below.
Yeah, we should change that eventually to the observer.
Oh, sorry, I have to interrupt and make a comment on this last comment before the end. Depolarization is lost in hadronization.
It's lost in what?
In hadronization of the B quark. That's a well-known fact on B physics.
I thought it wasn't completely true for lambdas.
Say again?
But lambda B somehow preserved something.
Yeah, there's some mode that sort of preserves it, but I think for most of it does not preserve it. So.
Yeah, in fact, when we say that was one advantage of the top quark is that the hadronization didn't have time to mess around
right.
with the
polarization. Right,
right. Oh, you came back. You came back, I see.
Okay, so sorry. So maybe people should ignore. Don't go off and check the depolarization comment. It was off the top of my head. I haven't thought about it before.
Because you're the same place too.
Okay, sorry.
So,
is there one you want to kill?
No. Forget it. No, the observable Higgs appear.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, we'll fix that.
And then and how we was to change it by observed.
So Z gamma is not for run 2.
No. 2 sigma in run 2. But again, both experiments.
What's limiting?
Right. So presumably you're only doing this in the electronic channel, right?
Yeah.
The analysis is also done now in the hadronic channel by then.
Really? The hadronic channel, Z gamma.
But it's really useful when you look for heavier things into the gamma.
Uh-huh.
You actually go down in mass?
Didn't think I'm doing it for 125.
No, it probably only in the IMAS. IMAS cuts out around 600, right? Okay, so we discussed, I guess, this week also H going to BSM. There are two parts. The BSM one is invisible, we just don't detect anything. The other is undetected. It can be, you know, if it went to something like Charm, we didn't even see it's just jets or something. But we're doing pretty well on this. I are around 20% on the invisible. And it's going to get better.
So we're going to continue to do things as it's true for the entire program, right? I mean, it's not that we leave anything left behind.
What are the primary limitations on this measurement? Like, is it better prediction for the Z plus jets background? Like,
which channel does it come from?
It's a BDF, is the most
sour.
So we get the normalization from the statistics of Z two leptons. Because Zen means just the BDF.
Yeah.
And so it's statistics. In Atlas, we've used the W also. Then there's an extrapolation with associated uncertainties. And so there you can, there's a conversation to be had there. You reduce the, if you continue to use the W's at some point, you can just use the Z's.
Right. The primary limitation there is just the statistics.
You know, it would be nice if there was a Monte Carlo that modeled Z plus jet production. This would help a lot.
No, that would not happen for you.
No, but that should be on the list. I mean, one of the things, you know, apart from all this, what experimentalists would want from theorists, for instance,
it's such a nice standard candle for so many of these different things that
you cannot do
it's a shame we can't model it.
Right. But if you can include a few of those things, what are the most important things that you say, if theorists could hand me this, then I could do this better.
Well.
As far as science physics, what would it look like that?
Z plus jets model would be helping the B analysis, it would be helping this BF analysis.
No, I think that...
Surely Z plus jets,
W
plus jets, and
top
plus jets, right?
Sure, we want more. But.
No, but top plus jets is probably of all of those the worst, right? In terms of modeling.
What was that?
Did you bob plus jets? I mean, if you compare like the public Atlas results and CMS results, I think they're differing by some massive amounts in the number of exojets. Someone showed it, right? Who showed
it? I showed
the Atlas. I thought our companion group was
discussing, you know, Z plus, you know, one jet, two jet, three jet calculations.
Even if you start to make a variation of resolution scales and things like that, if
so you can turn it around a better prediction.
But a better prediction, I think the Monte Carlo in general. I mean, NLO, I mean in by Monte Carlo, NLO plus PA, next winning order calculation, matched the Parton Schauen, and even eventually merged
the
merging
bits. If you think about something trivial, right? It's kind of the ZPT spectrum.
Yeah.
For
example.
It's not described by any of those tools.
Okay, it's more
difficult.
But actually, that's the thing that's even the most, one of the most important in the modeling, because we use that in all the things.
Yeah,
no, but we should at least have the list so that we know what the roadblocks are. That would be useful.
Okay, I guess we're almost done. So the other, this is maybe I don't want to discuss, but right, so we know what to do with the data that's about to arrive very soon. Just produce our cross-section times branching ratios, get to see the haze again, and all the final states and production modes, and then we'll put that back into the Kappa framework and maybe it's more sophisticated, but for sure more sophisticated frameworks. So we've discussed EFTs. But,
so when you discuss EFTs, then what do you adopt as your
Forget it. There's a whole working group.
Yeah,
another one. And it's still under discussion, and they will be discussing for the months to come. And the other things I think were, there's something from Heather. Are there particular differential distributions that would be most useful to measure?
It's a question to Phil.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably also the PT distribution.
It's PT.
PT is obvious, but the question was if there are other.
PT of the jet.
We'll talk about the Higgs. The Higgs. Are there any differential distributions in the Higgs you'd like to see that we haven't produced?
There's obviously also distribution which are sensitive to to CP, right? But,
right.
The distribution in UVI events and so on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be nice to have this. This requires a conversion on the convergence on the EFT side, but obviously there are various distinct EFT operators that contribute from the same kappa. So vector kappa is coming from various high-dimensional operators. And there are, those observables have to do with various distributions of the lepton planes. But I did find those sets of things where several EFT operators collapse on a kappa and figuring out minimal sets of observables that distinguish them. That's like a useful small set of things to do.
Yeah.
It would be very useful, because in some sense, once we know which ones are useful, it's not hard, but we can't do everyone.
Right, absolutely. But yeah, I think finding, focusing on ones that break degeneracies in the Kappa framework seems like a useful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's so logical.
Okay, now three others, they're covered somewhere up there, and we've discussed them. So two of them were in Howie's list, and...
So third last one, right?
Yeah,
most likely, yes, is the answer to this question, but the question should be, can we actually measure in continental?
Yeah, no, that's obviously the point.
There was always a story, which I don't know what the current version is, so maybe someone can update me. The sort of wisdom after the Higgs discovery was your measurement of the kappa and the kappa framework and self-weighted vectors always told you the precision of that measurement was much more than you would have learned from trying to actually measure directly the initialization. Is that still robustly true?
I thought Christoph
did that. Well, it's a matter of checking, right? I mean, you don't want to just say...
Yeah, it's a matter of checking, of course. But I mean, and it's a model dependent, ultimately it's a model dependent statement if the kappas do tell you more about the initialization than the direct measurement.
Yeah. But well, to quantify that a little bit more precisely.
Is there a measurement of the kappa VV just from the high energy WW scattering? independent of the...
Well, that's what Nathaniel, I think, is referring to, that if you were to try to turn it into that...
I'm going to ask if does one exist right
now. Oh, I think one doesn't exist right now, but no. I guess the expectation would be, given the size of deviation or the precision of the kappa VV on the Higgs pool, you would not expect to see anything get LHC sensitivities.
Is that obvious?
I think it's certain. It's true. Yeah. Just because the Higgs is unitarizing vector boson scattering quite well.
I think it's an order of magnitude.
So it's a matter of checking, as Jack says, but still.
Can someone maybe clear up? I don't quite understand the question, because surely either whether the LWR scattering is unitary or not is purely a theoretical question, right?
No, it's looking for, say, you know, if the unitarization is not done by the Lie-Pays completely, then presumably there's something else that finishes the job. Now, that whatever it is that finishes the job lies, let's say, above a TED. There could be a region where you will start to look like you're having bad high energy behavior.
Oh, all right. So,
and so that's what you're looking for.
So the question is, does the measurement of WLWR scattering deviate from what we fixed?
Okay. Exactly.
I think that might be a fairer formulation of the question.
The graviton would contribute to WW scattering, and in fact, you know, the Higgs unitarization doesn't work if you have gravitons present. So, effectively mediating WW into WW.
And there are plenty of models out play games where you do have this intermediate regime where there's a marked deviation.
And then my question just has to do, you know, those models, the precise, the better A agrees with the standard model value, the higher that scale is, and the less likely it would pick up the others.
Exactly.
But there can be new physics in off-shell Higgs anyway, in these kinds of channels, which is very interesting. It might not be, as Jack was pointing out, not directly tied to unitarization. Exactly. There may be real radions and gravitons or other stuff, some other Higgs portal, where Higgs is mixing some other.
Is there even an experimental measurement of WW final state with VBF tags? I guess that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Same sign.
And why it comes to target?
Same sign, low U, high mass.
From the theoretical point of view, if you have an additional contribution to WW, Higgs to WW, then why that doesn't break unitarity?
You could have something else that comes in later that fixes it again. If I have something,
you need something
that can fix it. Two things, it can go up and then go down. Yeah, and that's what happens, I think, with the radion and graviton case. The radion does the job, and then the KK gravitons fix it again.
Right,
the unitarization can be a much more complicated story in non-minimal electric symmetric breaking sectors. Off-shell, and why not, ZZ, right? You can measure the ZZ final state as well. And that's part of the same process. Right. We don't need to focus on W's, it's just the four lepton things.
I think you get a lower sensitivity of the W's, which is already all these C's at length.
It's a small branch.
Yeah, we have the like sign W channel, which is the best way to check this. Not available for ZZ.
Anyway, all these models, they break perturbativity close by, so the crazy models.
Those are the ones that extend 750 GeV.
Something that's close
to you have gravity close by, right? So strongly coupled gravity.
Only if you're trying to do the 750 GeV the two-dig doublet module. There may be something else. Yes.
No, I'm talking about the
so, I guess I'd like to make a point on the second to last thing there. What would be nice in the next run or run three is to put a bound on the admixture of CPR. You have an actual bound?
We have bounds.
But this is another one right now.
Yeah, no, well, they're
what is a bound?
I've never seen them.
here?
No.
What? An example?
That would be nice to see. It's okay that wine is forbidden.
Choose the Atlas parameterization or the CMS parameterization.
Anyway, so answer
that. Oh, so these are in terms of yeah, the operators.
Okay, you have that is useful. What is the?
But it might be useful also to, you know, look at this also in certain models like CP violating to HDM.
Mm-hmm.
One can probably have something that looks fairly clean.
Can you show again these things?
So this is, for instance, so we have the standard model, we have the, I don't know if you can, this is the A or the S. And it's this thing.
So somehow, okay.
And yeah, so we've used these two channels.
Should I apologize? What is alpha here? Oh, alpha is that makes sense.
So there's some angle between a certain range that's in the 95% confidence level.
Alpha is the mixing angle between the potential additional CPU state and the CPU and the
X. Okay, so this is sine alpha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's definitely in the right direction.
We should restart it.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right. Yeah. I don't know if anyone has anything to say about that last thing. It was sort of
the core take.
Well, I'd say it's the same as the last. Thing, really. It's just measuring WW scatter. Right?
Yeah, I guess that can certainly be part of that.
So yeah, we give limits on anomalous quadratic edge components.
Okay.
Okay.
So I guess the only question is there something that we've missed?
Barbecue. We missed the barbecue.
It was an idea we had to do a barbecue, but you are staying next week?
You're Argentine, girl.
Alright, well, as far as cakes, is there an item that...
Jack does a nice review of multiple different things, including details of Higgs doublet models with light. With the idea that we found the heavier Higgs and looking to see what possibly the word for light Higgs. Nobody ever presents Higgs triplet models. Triple Higgs doublet models.
No, they are out there.
Is there any extra flexibility? Is there anything we're missing by?
Well, there are many more possible decays, like, you know, the H1, H2, different mass.
Well, cascades, maybe.
Yeah. Cascades, even, yeah, right.
Cascade, Higgs cascades.
But then enough, that is to his other plus singlet.
Yeah.
That is already an extension.
Exactly.
There are little theory puzzles actually associated with Higgs double models. But I didn't.
What sort of puzzle are you talking about?
Oh, for instance, there's a paper that writes down a 3 Higgs doublet model where there is no basis where all the scalar potential parameters are real, and yet there seems to be some sort of general ICP conservation. And it's kind of weird. So, I mean, but these are all theory. I'm not sure they gravitate to the Higgs wish list, but they're a little...
There's one thing which I think is in the experimental ballpark right now, which is, you know, we did this work in assessing what the performance is of the high Lumi LHC, you know, the best we can actually say on Higgs couplings in the future. And I think that triggered or kind of at least motivated a little bit further work on cross sections and the uncertainties, which because it was one of the limitations. And I think one should reinvestigate this and see where are other areas where we need long term work in order to actually then fully explore the Higgs potential of the LHC. I think that's something we should not forget with all the buzz about the current data.
I mean, if you want to add one question about Dion Tuig's doublets, you can say, if you think that three is a magic number in particle physics, because there are three generations of quarks and three generations of lepton, so why not three generations of Higgs? How would we know? How would we access this information? So if you want, you can add that to the list, just so that we have a placeholder.
Phrase it the other way around. Does it provide any signatures we're not currently
yet? Right, and yeah.
Definitely it does, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's worth adding to the list just so that it's there and we remember it. If we go on, we can think about that.
Of course, we haven't mentioned each triplet models here, but that's...
No, we have. Shenya gave a whole talk on that.
Yeah, but I mean on this...
Oh, on...
Want any questions on our wish list?
Then
we do the
triple
problems.
Yeah,
part
of
so
the
solitary
question.
Yeah, like the
George Lubavitch. I think there is no discussion with that connection between Higgs physics and Newtonian physics, right?
Okay, so there's a good question that we can add. Is there a connection between Higgs physics and neutrino masses?
Yeah.
I think that's a question worthy of.
Well, go ahead. In the context of Pollard Trifonov, probably.
Yes.
Yeah, well, there are a number of answers. I mean, Shenya had an example of two models, you know, the bar Z, the Z.
Zibabu.
And this is how you see.
Yeah, but this is actually the context of, again, Pollard Trifonov. I think it can be pretty much an RT in the left right model. You have an additional Higgs which breaks your SU2R times U prime and at some point mixes with our Higgs. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of two Higgs double. It's not really double because it's a double of SU2R, not our SU2, but it's essentially an example of two Higgs models. Mm-hmm. Not two Higgs double model, but two Higgs.
I mean, if you wanted to extend also and have a question about what will be the definitive evidence for models of neutral naturalness, you know, twin Higgs, blah, 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 blah. That hasn't been long.
This is again slightly model dependent.
I understand, but just to at least give that whole set of theoretical ideas its due, it's something that we need to think about. So, I'll do one other question to put there. Anybody else? Well, you still have access to adding your thoughts to the wiki page.
Until when?
Wow. As long as your password still works, I guess. I don't know.
I don't even know what is my
password. You have to queue up your own password. I just use my own Keyspace's password.
I never had it.
You got an email inviting you to join the Wiki Space in March. So
in March, yes.
In March.
Lots of time passed since March.
Well, check with Maggie tomorrow.
You can also click and it resets your password.
Okay.
Okay.
I tried that and failed, so I don't
know. Okay,
but you'll get that
theoretical counterexample.
You'll find that out with Maggie tomorrow, because you'll be...
So just a compliment.
Yeah, and Marcus will write up
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
and put on the web page at least our impressions of today's discussion. And I'd like to thank everybody for your participation. This has been a fantastic 2 weeks, and I think it's been quite successful. And but it's not the end, it's the beginning.
Of course, I'd like to thank our organizers here.
Okay, and volleyball, that is the important question. So the